Welcome to Simply Financial with your financial coach, Kevin Ray. In today's investing environment, there's a lot of clutter. If you're tired of the talking heads and financial noise, this is the show for you. Today, we'll help you find simple solutions to financial challenges. We'll show you how to achieve your financial goals and get answers to your toughest questions. Simply Financial with Kevin Ray starts now.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Simply Financial. I'm Walter Storholt alongside the great Kevin Ray. Ladies and gentlemen, back in better than ever with many more fish to his name and to the ledger. Your numbers for 2024 are looking pretty good after your most recent fishing trip, I would say, Kevin.
Well, you're right, Walter. I just got back from Arkansas and we had a ball down there. Stayed under 3 days, caught lots of fish. And of course, I had to send you the pictures, kind of brag a little bit and show you how much fun we're having.
Yeah.
I'm going back in June again. It was so much fun. So.
Oh, that's great. Great news.
Yeah.
I'm sure the fish will be plentiful then as well.
Yeah, dry fly only, which I really, really like. So, yeah.
Very cool. That's awesome. Yeah, you guys got some big fish, and it looked like it wasn't just one person catching them all. Everybody on the trip seemed to have a good week.
Yeah, we all had our good day, our good moments. So, yeah. I mean, we caught lots of 20-inch plus brown trout, and I caught one 20-inch rainbow trout. It was a good time, so.
So answer this for me. How long does it take to reel them in? So like when you get them on the hook, how long's the fight?
Well, the bigger ones, 10 minutes probably.
Okay. So depending, this isn't just like you got them, you reel it in, 2 seconds later, they're in the boat. Like,
oh, no.
There's a fight.
Yeah, they're taking line from you. And depends how much current there is. You know, if there's more current, it'll take you longer. I caught that one big rainbow. And it probably took me 15 minutes getting him in because he... get into the boat and he'd run all the line out again, get into the boat. So yeah, it's a lot of fun.
That's cool. Yeah. Just to draw it out like that, I think makes the fishing more exciting and adds a little skill to it, right? You can't overwork it and do it too soon.
No, you can't. That's the fun part, right? You know, you're in the boat, hold your tip high. Don't put too much pressure on it because you'll break the line. And yeah, it's just a tug and go. You know, he'll take as much as he wants and then you reel in what he gives you and then he'll take as much as he wants and it's back and forth like that. So
do they wear you out first or do you wear them out? That's the battle.
Well, if it was a longer fight, they'd probably wear me out. But fortunately, I got on the good end this time. So yeah.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Well, congrats and glad you had a great trip and welcome back. And we want to wish a happy Mother's Day weekend to all the moms out there that are listening to the show today and hope they are doing well. And hopefully they get some good treats today too. Go out to eat somewhere nice over the weekend, spend some time with family if you can.
Yep.
And enjoy yourself. So I got to spend a couple of days with my mom when I got back from the big Vietnam trip that I went on, Kevin, and got to spend a few days with her. They were at our home taking care of our dog and house sitting for us, and they zipped away a few days after we got back, but we got to have a little bit of fun last weekend. So,
well, that was fun, right?
Yeah. We just bumped up Mother's Day a week. So
they stayed at your house over 2 weeks?
They did. They had a blast. Wow. They had a really good time. So they were crazy. They were out exploring every day, checking stuff out. So they had a really fun time.
So are they moving to next door to you sometime soon?
I don't think so. I didn't quite convince them of that. So
they're New Hampshire type people,
right? They still like their northeast coastal lobster boat areas. So
I don't blame them.
Yeah, I don't blame them either. So gives us a fun place to visit them. They have a fun place to come visit us. So
sounds like a good time all around.
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was a good time. Well, hey, let's get into some financial conversation and talking about retirement and financial planning. And since it is Mother's Day weekend, we thought it'd be fun to do a little financial planning with mom, which is kind of a tradition on the show here, where we look at the things that mom used to tell us about life and then or just her reasons for things. And then we'll apply some financial lessons to what she said, to that wisdom from the past. That sound good to you, Kevin?
Yeah, let's have some fun with this.
Okay, very good. Well, I heard this a lot as a kid. Mom and dad and any other adult that might have been taking care of me at the moment would always just say, because I said so, right? They may not have a better answer. So it's just because I said so, because I know better. I feel like I heard that a lot when I was a kid. You don't say that to clients, though, do you? If they have a question about their portfolio, or are you just saying, just do it because I said so?
Well, I better not be doing that, because if I do, you need to fire me. So
yeah, apply the same thinking there.
No, I remember my mom saying that, and my dad, as you said, too, you know, why do I got to do it? Because I said so. Well, why? You know, and then I think you're right. They didn't have a better answer. They just didn't want me to do it, whatever, at the time. And when you correlate this to financial planning, Walter, where do you think I'm going to head with this? A lot of financial advisors do what? We talk about it, you know, about the planning, talk about it week in, week out.
Yeah, they try to overcomplicate it, right? So they make themselves look a little bit smarter than maybe they really are, or so you don't ask questions because you get overwhelmed. Lots of those kinds of things.
Well, I think that, and I think, you know, the cookie cutter plans, right? Everybody fits inside that same cookie cutter plan. You know, you do this because this makes sense or because I said so, some of the advisors. I think that's the wrong way to go about it. I think it's more of a co-planning type situation. When you're talking to an advisor, you come into my office, for example, we're going to co-plan together. We're not going to say on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you feel, or those things that I consider not, you know, worthy of asking. You know, I want to know, how much income do you need? How much assets do you have? What's your shortfall? And then we need to plan together, how are we going to solve this puzzle? So if you're going to a financial advisor and he says, well, this is the reasoning, or there is no reasoning, you just fit in this model, I'd be aware. You want to sit down with somebody who can actually educate you through the process, who can get you from point A all the way to point Z, and then you understand everything in between. That's critical. If you don't understand how your income's going to be produced in bad times and good times and through flat times in retirement, that's a warning sign for me. You need to understand what you've accumulated your whole entire lifetime, what you saved. Now that shortfall, whatever you're missing, if you got $5,000 a month you need and you only got four coming in, you need $1,000, how do we fill that $1,000 shortfall? And that education process in our office is, I think, very good, because we go through, we explain different ways how to produce the income, and it'll be there through your retirement phases. So just don't go into the financial planning business and, you know, they say, well, you fit in this box, you go here. No, co-plan together, understand together, get educated. And by the end of your meetings with whatever advisor you're talking to, you should have a really good idea of how the income is being produced and how it's going to help you through retirement.
Great points across the board. By the way, I want to let you know how you can get in touch with Kevin if you have any financial or retirement planning questions on today's show. Very easy to do. All you have to do is call 888-885-PLAN. That's 888-885-PLAN, and you'll get in touch with Kevin and the team. If you get the voicemail, leave a quick note. They'll return the call and make sure that you get set up for a visit. You can talk over the phone, meet via Zoom, or just come right into the office in Pinconning if you want to have a more in-depth conversation about your plan and getting ready for retirement. 888-885-PLAN is that number. Kevin's got about 3 decades of experience in this financial planning world, so a lot of experience helping people get to and through retirement. Let's talk about what else Mom used to maybe say to us when we were kids. If you want to act like a child, I'll treat you like one. Yeah, I mean, I think that was pretty effective, right? Like, I felt like that helped me grow up quicker, because you hit that point where you're like, oh, I don't want to be a kid. I want to be respected, you know? And so I felt like that one was pretty effective for Mom.
That was real effective for me, right? Because, no, I don't want to be put in that class with all the other kids, right? I want to be better than
that. I want to be special, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, that was real effective for me. So when we're you know, kind of thinking about this, when you're dealing with the big brokerage, you know, houses, they tend to invest your money with a lot more risk than they should. Why do you think that is, Walter?
They probably get more fees and commissions if they're taking more risk. Maybe they're doing more trading. They're racking up a little bit more income in the background.
Yeah, there's possibly some of that going on, because if you're trading a lot, right, there's fees involved in there.
Yeah.
But I think they're basing, you know, let me ask you a question, Walter. If we're going to invest money for you today, and I ask you this, on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you feel about risk? What's your answer?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I feel okay taking some risks. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Seven, eight, nine.
Sure. Right. So, 7, 8, 9. So, if you go to some brokerage houses, what are they going to build your portfolio on?
Well, if I tell them 7, 8, 9, that's probably what they build it on, right?
Right. If you're 60 years old, you're 80 years old, you're 20 years old, they're going to do the same, right?
Right.
So that's,
yeah, you're dictating. I remember setting up an account somewhere, and it's like, yeah, how risky do you want to be? And I'm taking an uneducated guess to say, I don't know, aggressive. Sure, that sounds good. Let's be aggressive, you know.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean I know the right choice. Is that really the right choice for me, just because I feel that way?
Exactly. Now let's take emotion. Let's put emotion in. You feel a 7 or 8 now. What happens if we have a big pullback in the market?
We drop 30%. I'm a zero.
Now you're zero, right? So, do you see the problem with that?
Yep. Yeah, that account goes down the day after I say aggressive. I'm going in there and changing it, right?
Yeah, so, you know, your emotion's going to... So the question is here, it's not how, you know, you shouldn't invest aggressive. You shouldn't invest conservative. It depends. Everybody is different. And what we do is we solve for your need. In other words, I'm looking for your retirement number, that number you need to average on your portfolio going forward so you don't run out of money. And then we can give you some recommendations based on that number, just not how you feel on risk. Let's solve it for a change instead of assuming it. That drives me crazy when I hear that, you know, well, I based it on, you know, the risk factor. Well, that's good at the time, but it changes just as we illustrated. What you want to do is you want to sit down and you want to do that planning process and you want to come up with that number, that retirement number that tells you what you have to average going from here all the way to 90 or 95 so you don't run out of money. Now, once you know that number, then it becomes easier to give you recommendations on what fits your needs. It's not a one size fits all. Everybody's different. And I think that's the big thing. So if you want to, you know, go down that road where you're just based on risk, I don't think that's a good deal. I think solving it, knowing it before you go into retirement, and then planning for it during retirement is a much better idea.
Good conversation about risk there. All right, if you got any questions for Kevin, don't forget to reach out. If you don't know what the appropriate risk is for your portfolio, for your financial situation, boy, I don't know of a better clue that it's a good time to pick up the phone, call, and get the planning process started. That really is a very common launching point for a lot of people to start the financial planning journey. And so let that be yours today if that is fitting your description. Yeah, I don't really know what's appropriate for me. That's going to be one of the first things that you determine and that you solve, and the rest of the planning will start falling in place behind that. So give Kevin a call again at 888-885-PLAN. 888-885-7526. You can also reach Kevin online at kevin@insightfolios.com. That's kevin@insightfolios.com. That's the email address to get in touch as well. All right, Kevin, Mom used to also say, if all your friends jumped off a bridge, would you do it too? Maybe that's the most universal thing, I think, maybe any parent would tell their kids back in the day.
I was going to say, is there a mother's school or dad's school they learn all this legal right up front?
Because I've heard that too. Yeah, they were all read the same parenting book or something.
Yeah. So I have a really good example of this. We have a company that's probably, I don't know, maybe 100 employees. And I got to know quite a few of them over there. But there's one gentleman over there that if they're on break, they go to lunch, they walk around town, whatever it is. And if he says he's making a move financially, they all perceive that he's got the knowledge to, you know, to make always good decisions, then I'll get a flood of phone calls. What do you think the flood of phone calls are, Walter?
Yeah, they want to do the same thing.
They want, yeah. Well, so-and-so's doing this, and then, you know, I think I should do that. Well, so this so-and-so that we're talking about is about 30 years old, and most of the people that call me are 50s and 60s, so it's a little different situation. Again, you want to solve for what you need. You want to make sure it fits into your plan. You want to make sure it's going to get you to and through retirement. And just because you perceive somebody's actually doing good in the investing world without verifying it, I can guarantee you almost every single time that it's not as good as you perceive it. So, Walter, how many times do you hear people go into a casino and they always win?
Not very often.
Yeah. Well, but they say they win.
Oh, if someone does win, then yeah, they're talking it up all the time.
Yeah, but do you ever hear about the losses?
No.
Same thing here, right?
It skews it to make it, or even someone who actually lost on the total of their trip will come back telling the story of the one bet that won. Even though they lost it all later, they'll tell the story of how they won that one time, that one hand or whatever it might have been.
Yeah, they won $200, but they spent $500.
Right, exactly.
Actually, you're down $300, right?
Yeah, but it felt really good to win, to hit it on that one time.
Yeah, same type thing here. You know, getting advice, listening to advice, it's fine, but you just make sure it fits into your overall financial picture. Because if it doesn't get you to your end goal, what good is it implementing those things? So that's what the warning is here.
That's another good one. All right. So if all your friends jumped off the bridge, don't do it too. Make sure you're making decisions for your best interest. Last one to hit here, Kevin, would be one day you'll thank me. Man, heard that one a lot too. You'll understand when you're older. I feel like the two go hand in hand there. Like, you may not understand why I'm doing this, but you'll understand when you're a parent one day. You know, those kinds of sentiments. I feel like heard those from the folks a lot.
Well, how many times does that come true now, Walter?
Oh, tons. We were just talking about it the other day. I was like, yeah, I'm so glad that you guys did that when I was a kid, you know?
Yep. And my mom and dad did the same thing. One day you'll thank me, and, you know, I didn't know the reasoning, or maybe they couldn't explain it to me at the time, but I understand it fully now that I'm older. So, and the same things, when you're working with a good advisor, people are going to focus on a few things. They're going to focus on fees. They're going to focus on maybe the market goes down and their account goes down. You know, maybe they're looking, being divorced or forced into an early retirement, whatever it is, that good advisor is going to be by you and stand by you and help you make good financial decisions, not based necessarily on emotion, but based necessarily on your end goals. And that event, when you get to retirement and then you're getting into retirement, you get through retirement, I find out after this 33 years of doing this that people tend to come back and they say, geez, you know, I can remember way back when the market went down and you said to me, that's normal. The market goes up, the market goes down, but I didn't understand it until you said it. But now over this long period of time, I'm right on schedule, I'm ahead of schedule, and I can retire and I can do all these things. So a good financial advisor, I think, is going to help take the emotion out of a lot of the investing or the knee-jerk reactions that come when the market goes down, for example. Or if you get divorced or if you get forced into an early retirement. I can tell you, I could sit here and do the rest of the shows on stories just about what we're talked about here. But I think, you know, don't necessarily focus on fees. Don't necessarily focus on all the things that you're focused on. Investing is long-term. And a good advisor is going to help you get through that long term. They're going to help you get to and through retirement with as less hiccups as possible. And remember, market downturns are normal. The market doesn't always go up. So I think people tend to forget that. And then it takes the focus off the long term planning that they're doing. They'll get emotion involved and they'll make the knee jerk decisions. How do you avoid that? You sit down. You do a financial plan. We call it the Simplicity Plan with ours. You get educated. You understand the working parts of it. And the more you get educated, the more you get used to seeing that plan, the better off you're going to be. You're going to make smart financial decisions. Remember, if you make smart financial decisions, it's going to impact the quality of your life. And that's what we're talking about here. A good financial advisor is going to help you make smart financial decisions so that later on in life you can enjoy the retirement that you've been looking forward to.
Okay, very good. If you've got questions for Kevin and want to go through the planning process, it's the Simplicity Planning Process. Again, making it simple, just like the name of our show here, but also comprehensive, making sure no stone is left unturned, making sure it's a customized plan, not that cookie cutter advice that Kevin was talking about a little bit earlier, a plan that's built and customized just for you. If you want to go through that kind of planning, it starts very easily with a simple phone call. 888-885-PLAN is the number. 888-885-PLAN or 888-885-7526. Kevin's based right in Pinconning. You can come into the office and have a conversation or start it out remotely if you prefer Zoom or even just a phone call to begin things. Ask questions that are on your mind. See if you're a good fit to work with one another. Kevin can illustrate perhaps the difference that could be made in your plan by going through a proper planning process. Again, the number to call is 888-885-PLAN. Or you can go online to insightfolios.com. Click the listen button to ask questions or listen to past episodes of the show and more. Insightfolios.com, the place to go there. Still a lot to come on today's show. We'll catch up with Kevin some more on other financial planning matters that you should keep top of mind, maybe answer a listener question and a few more things all on today's agenda. So stay tuned. You're listening to Simply Financial with Kevin Ray.
No need to complicate it. This is Simply Financial.
You're listening to Simply Financial with Kevin Ray. I'm Walter Storholtz, and thanks for joining us this week. Kevin, let's play the what if game. Did you ever play that as a kid?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. This also gets played, I think, in the college economics classes. They do a what-if game where students are given a scenario which may or may not be realistic, but their job is to think through all the potential financial and economic consequences of that scenario unfolding. So I thought it would be fun to ask you and your 3 decades of experience to play that game a little bit and see what you think about how, see what we can learn from maybe just kind of extrapolating out some ideas here. How's that sound?
Sure. Let's give it a whirl.
All right. So each one of these obviously will start off with what if. What if interest rates continue to increase over the next 2 to 3 years?
So we've already seen that in the last year or so, right?
Right. Yeah, we're in a new interest rate world, right?
So if you are, let's give you 2 sides of this coin. Okay. So if you were in, let's say that you have a CD in the bank from 2 years ago and you're earning virtually nothing to now you're getting maybe 4 or 5%, and you want to live off that interest. So if the rates increase, that just means your interest goes up, right? So maybe help supplement your income a little bit better. So those types of things. But on the other side of the coin, if interest rates go up, so does your loan rates. Loan rates for homes, mortgages, cars, all those types of things. So that could affect, You know, if you're holding stock, for example, in a car company, or if you're holding stock in a mortgage company, well, maybe not as many mortgages or as many loans on the cars are going to come across. So there's always a double-edged sword on a lot of these things. And that's, yeah, just good for some people, not maybe so good for other people, especially if you're in the mortgage world, right? And you're going to take out a 20 or 30-year mortgage, and now you're paying 7-8% versus 2 or 3 just a few years ago, you can see how that really tumbles up. So if interest rates continue to rise, it's going to be good for some and bad for others.
Yeah, all of these investing and economic things, two people think they're winning, but one's going to win and one's going to lose. To have a winner, you have to have a loser.
You got
to
have a loser, yep.
But both think they're winning when they make the transaction. So keep that in mind as you kind of figure out where your position is. Yeah, so if you're in the realm of taking on more interest, taking on more loans, that would be not great for you. But if you're on the other side of the coin, then it might be helpful. So yeah. Interesting. Yeah. All right, what if married couples under 30 have on average only one child?
Well, you know, that's happening currently. I don't know if it's the exact figure, but that's been happening for quite some time. Do you know back when Social Security first started, Walter, there was, I forget how many people, like, 10 people putting in for every one drawing. Now we're down to 2 to 1. And this is what's happening. So if married couples are having one child on average, do you think that's going to affect the Social Security system going forward?
Yeah, going to have a big impact.
Yeah, you're going to have more people taking out potentially than you have putting in. And that's what all the talk's currently about in Social Security. We got to fix this. They see this problem coming down the road. Now, they've been saying that for, 50 years now? Whether they do it or not is another thing. So if you're having one child, that's also going to affect a lot of other things, right? You're not buying as many diapers, you're not buying as many toys, you're not, all these things come into play. So some industries may suffer there too.
At the same time, you could have a lot of these couples having now a lot more disposable income than they otherwise would if they had a bigger family.
Well, that's the other thing. So for these younger people, yeah, that's where I was getting at, Walter. We've been doing this together a while. You're thinking like I am.
I was a step ahead of you.
Yeah. Well, if you're only having one child, you have more disposable income. What can you do with your 401k and your IRAs?
You can save up a lot more and maybe retire earlier. And that can stimulate the economy in different ways. So even though it's just like that trade-off you talked about with the interest rates. Like, yeah, there's going to be always that give and take. So we can focus on all the bad things that occur from maybe not having as many kids. But at the same time, there could be a lot of sectors that get benefited from that.
Yeah, it's a two-way street, let's put it that way.
Yeah, it always seems to pop up whenever you play the what-if game, that's for sure. All right, let's get to another one here. What if the U.S. gets directly involved in a major war for the first time in decades?
Ooh, well, I don't, economically, there's going to be certain things, the defense sector, those types of things that will probably do better. But a major war is never good. We know that. Going into it, just, the overall
economic reasons are not. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just not a good thing. World War II, when that happened, it pulled us out of depression. You can go back and, make that argument. But going into a war today, all the technology and all those types of things, who knows, right? It could be a terrible thing. And, there's going to be some economic opportunity over there, if you want to call it that. And that's going to be in the defense sector and those types of things. I hate to even think about that.
That's not a good what if. Yeah, that's not. One's less fun than some of these other ones to talk about. Yeah. What if a college education becomes free?
Is it really free?
We won't necessarily say that this is the whole student loan conversation of forgiving loans, but just if they say, hey, college education free for everyone.
Well, this free word drives me crazy, Walter.
Nothing is free.
Nothing is free.
We had the mom sayings earlier in the show, right?
Yeah.
This one was one too. Like, nothing's free.
Nothing's free.
There's
exactly,
no such thing as a free lunch.
It sounds good because then maybe everybody can go to college. That would be the good side of it, right? You have opportunity to go to college, get a degree or those types of things. But the free side is what drives me crazy because somebody has to pay for it.
Right.
And that somebody's typically the taxpayers. So on the other hand, if you get a well-educated workforce, whatever you want to call it, we're out there, it could benefit, but it could not. So there's a two-way street on this, I think. Nothing's free. It's going to come from taxes, which means you mean the taxpayers are going to pay for it. And then, but on the other end, if we get people going through college, depending on what they're learning, right? I mean, we see all the protests over there in other colleges right now, but if it's put to good use, that could be a good thing on the other side too.
All right. We're playing the what if game here. If you've got questions about what's going to happen to your portfolio in the future, how you'll navigate some of the unknowns and some of these scenarios that we're talking about, you can build a portfolio that can absorb all of these different random events and activities and help you navigate through it all. But it does take proper planning in advance, and Kevin can walk you through that. Just call 888-885-PLAN if you've got questions and want to set up a time to meet for a complimentary review, or if you just want to ask a few questions that are on your mind. 888-885-PLAN. Don't worry, if you call right now, you'll likely get the voicemail. You don't have to talk to a real person at the moment. And you can leave a quick message and a way to get in touch with you, and Kevin and the team will follow back up with you that way. 888-885-PLAN. But hey, call now while you're thinking about it, and get time on the calendar. 888-885-PLAN, again, is that number, or online at insightfolios.com. All right, Kevin, let me pepper you with another couple here. What if we experience another market downturn this decade that was similar to the 2008-2009 crisis?
Well, we all, if something like that happens, again, there's going to be a lot of motion out there, right? Mm-hmm. There's also going to be, you're going to lose some money in your portfolio. Again, that's, you know, the ups and downs, that's going to be normal. But there's going to be a lot of opportunity there, isn't there? See, that's, I mean, I think that's what people are missing, is the opportunity side of this.
I mean, COVID certainly felt like another 08, 09, but yes. Then it recovered so fast, it didn't have quite the same, you know, the same story that 08, 09 had.
Well, it's funny you said that, because after COVID, I can't tell you how many people, more than 10, came into my office, and they said, almost verbatim, everybody came in, you know, I missed 2008, 2009, I'm not missing this. And they invested money because they saw the opportunity. The market goes up, the market goes down. We're always told, buy low, sell high. So if the market goes down like a 2008, 2009, yes, it's very emotional, it's very scary, especially then, because lots of things were going under. But there was also a gigantic opportunity there for certain sectors and for certain investments and those types of things. So when that happens, you know, guys like Warren Buffett, they're not worrying. Guys like, you know, big money managers and stuff, they're looking for the opportunity out there. And that's how a lot of money is being made. I mean, you have opportunity. Yes, you're going to suffer short term typically, but long term, if you take advantage of it, I think you'd be much further ahead than what you think you could be.
Yeah, all good points there, Kevin. Opportunity can come out of crisis, and so we can keep our eyes for those things. But that's where you got to keep those emotions in check, and why it's so helpful to have an advisor helping guide you through those periods of time, because you need to keep those emotions from, you know, making wrong decisions. What if one or more states secede from the union? We've heard that threat happening over the last couple of decades, it seems now. That's picked up some fervor, and it may be depending on what happens in the next election, that'll pick back up as well, that conversation. So, yeah, what if that happens? Does that have any big impact on us as retirees and financial planners?
Sure. What do you think would happen, Walter?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, like, let's just say California. We know how big of an economy that is. So just wild scenario here. If they just say, we're gone, we're not part of the United States anymore, I mean, that's going to have an effect.
It'll have a big effect, right? Yeah. I mean, just from the Social Security standpoint, not people not, you know, putting into the system, and, you know, that economy that's generating over there, it could be some new taxes if we went to California fruit or whatever state, you know, would ever do this. So there's going to be big consequences, because you have to look at economically. That's not going to be producing for us in this potential situation. You know, I don't know. California, we hear all the time, right? North California wants to secede from the rest of California, and they've been wanting to do that for years. And then you hear Texas, you hear all those things. That would be a bad thing, obviously, for the United States, but I don't think we would definitely have some economic downfall from that.
Yeah, and flip it around the same way, right? Like, you know, Texas disappears from the union, or some other you know, segment of states. Like, it's not a good road to head down for anybody, that's for sure.
No, we did it a couple hundred years ago, and it wasn't a good road then, and it won't be a good road now.
Not a good
in
time.
In my humble opinion.
Yeah. Yep, I agree with you. All right, let's say, what if the price of oil doubles?
Well, if you're holding Exxon, Chevron, if you're holding pipelines, that's a good thing for you.
Yeah, you'll be all right.
Mm-hmm. Right, you'll be all right. But then again, if oil doubles, then you're going to pay more for what? Heating, you're going to pay more for gasoline, you're going to pay more. Again, there's a two-way street, but there'd be lots of opportunities. If we knew price of oil is going to double, you'd want to double down on anything that has to do with, you know, Chevron, Exxon, you know, maybe TC pipelines, all those kind of things that come along with the oil industry, because it's going to have a lot of economic opportunity there. And then on the other side, you're going to suffer. Just like we are in our gases. You know, the other day it was almost $4 a gallon. You know, a few years ago, it wasn't that high. So we're paying the price now that more than we were a few years ago, for example. So there's good and bad on both things. And, you know, oil's come back up after COVID. I think Exxon was down to $32 a share. Think of that. And now it's back over $100 a share. But there's give and take on both sides. So you just got to, you know, if you're invested in oil, you'll do good. But if you're not, well, you're going to pay the price at the pump. You're going to pay the price for heating and those types of things.
All good points. All right, let's throw one more out there. What if the U.S. adopts a single-payer healthcare system?
What do you think?
I think big economic impacts from that, right?
Yeah, they have to, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the healthcare system, but, and again, do you think they want to go that way, most people?
It's a pretty split, right? I feel like there's a big split between those who think that's a good idea and those who don't think it's a good idea.
So there's going to be some, you know, if you think it's a good idea, you know, when you're going to look for opportunities, you think it's a bad idea, you're going to look at the bats. I don't know. I'm kind of wavy on that one, as you can tell. So
in terms of how the impacts would go.
Yeah, how the impacts, because I could see good things and bad things on both sides, right? I mean, you know, the doctors, for example, if you become, you know, are they going to stay in the system? Are they going to do, you know, nurses? We already see the shortages and things going at the hospitals now.
Yeah, that's very true.
So is it going to impact it worse, you know? And then the cost of healthcare goes up, or you know, it's probably going to go up, or will it go down? All those things come into play.
Yeah, it's a great point. I think that that's actually a perfect illustration, being that last one there, and very informative of how you have approached all of these questions, Kevin. We gave a little bit of opinion here and there, but you analyzed every single one of these from a great viewpoint, and it was, where are the opportunities? So whether you agreed personally or not with some of these things that could happen, or whether you want them to happen or not, you kind of took them all in stride to say, okay, well, if it happens, you recalibrated immediately to say, here's how we could take advantage of it. Here's how we could do this. So you kind of, and that's how you'd approach your planning with your clients, right? Like, it doesn't really matter what your political opinion is, what the direction is that you think things are going to go in. Whatever happens, let's plan for a way to maximize it to our advantage. And that's a great illustration of taking that emotion out of the planning process.
It is, because you have to take emotion out. You have to solve for your retirement needs, and you have to stay the course. It's a long-term game.
Yeah, very cool. Well, if you need to do that kind of planning, if you've maybe been planning based off of your emotions for too long and you want to put together a more solid, structured plan, that's what you can do with Kevin and the team at Insight Folios. Born and raised in Pinconning, and that's where the office still is today. So if you want to come in and have a conversation with Kevin and talk to a local person that's got years and years, decades of experience in the financial planning world, he can help you navigate through retirement by picking up the phone and giving him a call. 888-885-PLAN is the number. That's 888-885-7526. Get on the calendar, have a conversation on the phone, Zoom, or come on into the office and meet one-on-one. 888-885-PLAN is that number, 888-885-PLAN. More to come on today's show. This is Simply Financial with Kevin Ray. Stay tuned.
It's getting to know you time.
All right, it's time to get to know Kevin Ray a little bit better on today's show. Kevin, my question for you this week, what's the biggest favor you've ever done for someone, or flip it around, that someone's ever done for you?
Well, I can talk of a guy named Roger Bennett that early on in my career, I was, you know, struggling somewhat, and, you know, I knew I was looking for something different, and started asking him questions. He lived over in Bath, Michigan by Lansing, and he said, come to my office. And actually, there's a couple of people who made an impact. Anyway, he took me in, showed me systems, showed me how he did business, showed me how I can help people. Just got better and better and better at it. And so that was a big favor that he'd done for me. In return, he asked me to do him a favor for, you know, helping me out. He asked me to help him out. And what he asked me to do was help anybody who came in my office. And I've kept to that favor too going forward. So I'm, you know, that's why we have no minimums in our office, Walter. If you have, you know, if you have $100, I'm going to help you. If you have $1 million, I'm going to help you. It doesn't matter. And that was the biggest favor that he'd done for me, or one of the biggest favor I had done for me. And not in return, I'm returning it for him. And then also on the other end, he said, if you have the opportunity to help another advisor, I want you to do that too, which I'm doing with Paul's group, as you know. And, you know, I'm getting older here in the office, and I'm getting, I'm in my 60s, early 60s. So I'm now looking for another advisor to come into my office and maybe, you know, help my clients, kids and grandkids that I've grown here. So if you're an advisor out there, this is a perfect way for me to repay Roger Bennett here and help somebody else get started in their business. Or, you know, if you're thinking that way, give me a call. I'd be happy to sit down and talk to you anyway. How about you?
That's fantastic. Well, yeah, let me give your number out. So if we do have another local advisor listening to the show and they're interested in that extending that career and working with you and your team, Kevin, and learning the ways of your successful business and the way that you like to help people and your philosophies, they can do that. 888-885-PLAN is the number. That's 888-885-PLAN. I'll shout out Lockwood Phillips. The owner of the local newspaper and local radio station in the town where I went to high school, and I kind of consider my hometown a little bit. And they Lockwood was awesome. As a 16-year-old, he gave me the shot at working at the radio station on the morning show, doing Friday night football broadcasts, working at the station on the weekends, running the audio board, and then even working at the newspaper for a couple of summers as well in a variety of roles there. And he just opened the doors up for so many opportunities and took a chance on a 16-year-old. I mean, handed the keys to the radio station, the power of running the station to a 16-year-old.
16-year-old, yeah. Awesome.
So it was pretty awesome. And so I just very appreciative for his willingness to, you know, not just hire a teenage worker, but then actually give me responsibility and trust. And that did wonders for, I think, my career from a very, very early start. So
everybody needs a mentor like that, right? And yes. Roger and what was your gentleman's name?
Lockwood. Lockwood. Cool name, yeah. Also.
Yeah. Yeah. Lockwood. Yeah. Yeah. So I should remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. So very cool. So, big shout outs to those guys.
And pass it on, right? Pass
absolutely.
I'm sure you will too. I'm sure you will too.
I feel like I have throughout my career. I didn't have to, but when I was broadcasting basketball, I brought in student interns to help run the halftime show and help manage the board and taught them the ropes on things and had them do stats. And, you know, it would have been easier for me to just do my own thing, but it was fun to find new ways to give other people opportunity and open the doors up and let them try stuff out. And so, yeah, I try to still do that today.
Yeah, I think we ought to do a whole show on people who have helped us to get where we are to this point.
That would be fun. Show. Yeah, we just go through the list, talk about life lessons learned from them. Yeah, that's a great idea. We'll plan for that. There you go. That's getting to know Kevin Ray a little bit better on today's show. When we come back, we'll answer a quick listener question and wrap things up for the week. So stay tuned.
What if we told you there was a simpler way to invest?
Excellent.
Well, that's what we thought.
Almost time to wrap up the show this week, but before we do, let's slide in one listener question. This one's from Maria. Maria says, I've been planning to do a rollover for my 401k because I heard that's the best thing to do when you leave your job. But when I called the 401k company to try and make it happen, they acted like it was a bad idea for me to do this. So what am I missing?
Well, Maria, that's a question we get here a lot. So leaving your company and you're retiring and you want to roll over that 401k. Well, where you're at, your only options that you have to invest into is what your company offers, right? Inside that 401k, maybe you got 10 different investments. If you roll it out to something, now you have this whole world open up to you. And you could invest in pretty much anything you want. And then that's where the planning process will come in. Sit down, do that planning process, figure out when you want to retire, what the income needs are, what your shortfalls, all those things we talk about week in and week out. And then let's look at different ways to invest that, roll that out of your 401k into an IRA and invest it to get you through retirement. Now, if they're telling you, you know, maybe it's a bad idea, well, I'm suspecting this, is that they want you to stay there. So let's just say it's a big brokerage company. You say, no, you don't want to do that. You can stay right here. Well, there's an incentive for them to keep you there, right? Because number one, they keep the assets there. And number two, maybe they move you over and they start on a different fee schedule or whatever it is. There's nothing wrong with sitting down and talking to the 401k company about those options, but I would suggest you get two or three different opinions on what's best in your situation and get that planning process going and then see which one fits your situation best.
Like that, Kevin. That's a great perspective and a good question, Maria. You should definitely dive into some more specifics with Kevin. Give a call to the show, 888-885-PLAN. You can chat about it, schedule a time to meet, and go through the specifics of your situation as well. Put it all in context. Any of these simple planning questions always are more fun to broaden out to the entire financial planning spectrum because you start to see how all these things are linked together. 888-885-PLAN is the number to reach Kevin. That's 888-885-7526. Any planning questions on your mind, tap into the great knowledge that Kevin has with the team at Insight Folios. They'll take you to the Simplicity planning process and make it easy to understand, but also incredibly valuable to help you get to and all the way through retirement. 888-885-PLAN. That's 888-885-PLAN. Call now to get on the calendar, have that complimentary financial review, and a good conversation with Kevin. Kevin, thanks for all the help on today's show. Really enjoyed the conversation with you, and we'll pick it back up next week.
Enjoy your week, Walter.
You as well. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll see you next time on Simply Financial.
Fee-based financial planning and investment advisory services are offered through Insight Folios, Inc., a registered investment advisor. The firm only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempted from registration requirements. Insurance products and services are offered through individually licensed and appointed agents in various jurisdictions. Insight Folios, Inc. does not offer legal or tax advice. Kevin Ray is an investment advisor representative of Insight Folios, Inc.